Julia likes to read news and stuff, and so she reads all the unhappy things that happen in the world, and then she turns to me and tells it to me. Because normally I just try to find the funny things, but she tells us about the bad things that happen.
It's a pretty impossible time to find good things. So, yeah, but go ahead.
Well, this is going to be a good thing. So Julia was like, there's this guy in New York, and he went to his vault to check what he had stored in the vault, and the door closed on him. And the door got locked and did not open for 9 hours because it was on some type of timer.
Right, right.
Mabel was like, where did he go to the bathroom? And Julia goes, well, he probably did it in there. And I was like, what if he did a number two? And Mabel goes, oh my gosh, what about a number three?
What the fuck is a number three?
I don't know. I just laughed.
It must be worse than a number two. Oh no.
So anyway, that was it. There's also Mabel found out she's learning about different countries and stuff. And so she found out, she asked mom, who's Julia, where did your people come from? And she told her. She goes, we're European. And I go, Mabel, you know what that means? You're a peon. So there was a bunch of pee-pee jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And then she got tired of it and she said, you're a poopin'. She had many other stories, but about a number three really made me laugh a lot.
That's pretty good.
Welcome to the show, people. Welcome to the show. Please come on in. Have a seat.
Waiting for you to say something about taking off pants. I'm glad you didn't.
I wanted to say it.
I know.
I saw that mother look from you.
No, it's not a mother look. It's a I still want to die look.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm afraid you're never going to get over that.
Okay. Comforting.
You're always going to feel that way.
Well, at least I got nothing. Percy got a formal invitation into the beta club. Week.
Alrighty. That's good.
And she got invited to attend a talk, which is kind of a big deal. But Percy's an artist. She wants to be an animator.
Mm-hmm.
So her art teacher, for lack of a better word, invited her. And her class is not supposed to be going. They specifically invited her to go to this like talk interview thing. You got little. So have you ever seen Foster's Home for Imaginary Pets or Imaginary Friends?
It's very possible. It's not ringing any bells, but I've seen a lot of.
It was out when Percy was younger.
Yeah, I probably saw it.
And it was one of the few that I could tolerate because it had a few like hidden adult jokes in it. That was pretty dark and I enjoyed it. I don't know why my daughter wants to be an anime designer. So.
Anime or animated design?
Anime specifically, okay. But she'll take animation. Anyway, she got invited to go listen to one of the artists from that making show? It sound less cool than it is. Because yeah. I know nothing. She's pretty excited.
Did she get to go yet? Or is next she still week. Waiting? All right, sweet.
Okay, I apologize. The last time I got bronchitis.
Oh, no.
I got time for that.
I bet there was a bunch of heavy breathing going on between coughs.
It sucked. I think that was the day I actually went to the doctor, was the day we were supposed to do it.
You're like, I'm still going to do it. I'm just feeling a little under the weather. And like 2 hours later, you're like, yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I went home. I was like, I'm going to take a nap. And then I woke up and I was like, no, boy, that's what I
need. I'm going to take another nap.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you guys again.
It's good to see you, too.
Thank you for being so patient.
Well, shit. I had you guys schedule one and dropped out myself, so no worries on my
Yeah, account. But it was like it didn't record, and I still feel bad about this. And yes, I hit record, Brad. I hit record. I hit record last time, but he's been on my ass ever since that. I hit record, and he doesn't believe.
So this is very deja vu.
Yeah.
So can I do your intro
again?
Again? Known as a symphonic black metal band, this artist creates a sonic landscape of many aggressive textures. The release, Wind, Breeze, or Breath, offers an ever-evolving story based in rhythm, distortion, and synth orchestrations. Please welcome Josh of Sterror.
Woo! Woo! Thank you. That was quite an intro.
I think that was better the first time.
Did you just take a picture?
I did.
Cool.
I sent that to the two labels that released this album. I'm in a message group with them. I talk to them all the time.
How are you on two labels?
It's not really like you're on labels. It's like, so Folkfanger's who I first got with, and he's like, I'm going to release your cassette for the first album. And so then I did the CDs myself. And then I found actually a third label to do the vinyl. And then the next album got another, as a British label, to do the Onism, to do the CDs. And then on this last album, Fia did the CDs. So it's kind of like you're not on the label. It's just who wants to release what format. You know, maybe somebody wants to release all of them, but if not, feel free to find somebody that will release it on the others. And, you know, it's kind of how it works.
That's cool. Did you go looking for that?
Yes. Just because I was tired of, it's not even so much the personal investment, and it's not the look of it so much. It's like there just is a little bit of, if a label emails this big YouTube channel or this website, like, hey, we're pitching this for PR purposes, they may take it a little bit more seriously than coming straight from me. But yeah, I did. And then Folkfanger, like I said, he's who kind of gave the project life, and he's actually introduced me to all the other CD labels I worked with. The vinyl label, Adirondack Black Mass, I don't remember how I found him. Yeah, it's kind of one of those funny things where sometimes, like, the people are actually fans and you didn't know it. And you reach out and they're like, actually, yeah, I like this. I'll do that.
What's the financial trade-off for them?
So, like, all digital is mine. And since they're fronting all the money for physical product, I get 20% of the product. So, like, you know, Adirondack did 250 records, I'll get 50. And that's basically my payment. I know sometimes with a band like in Europe, if they don't want to receive the physicals because of shipping and the VAT and whatever, they'll just take like a payout that's very, you know, similar to the amount that they would make. But I mean, it's a pretty good deal. I mean, from my perspective, I have no money invested. So that's kind of a big plus. Not to throw a label under the bus or anything, because I feel terrible if something doesn't sell. And I guess I shouldn't, but I do. But with all the different stuff I do, I don't have the money to, you know, put it all out myself.
How many things are you doing right now? How many groups? Come on.
Like bands or like personal things?
Projects.
Oh, gosh. A lot.
That's not a number, dude. Come on.
No. Well, I don't have a number on the top of my head. I could look it up and give you a number. Bands would definitely be easier. Okay. So I play with Bahargum. It's a black metal band. I play guitar with that. I play drums in a band called Dos Cobros. It's kind of a sort of a punkish, like, two-piece. Last year, I joined Primeval Well, and I played bass with them. They call it like a southern gothic black metal. It's kind of got some country bluegrassy, but it's, you know, very much a black metal band. I play in a 90s cover band. I have some other stuff that, like, kind of does stuff periodically. Like, I do a thing called Chest Rockwell that's technically a band, and I've put out the last three albums solo, but we're actually reuniting to do like a 20-year anniversary show. It's pretty wild. I've got another band I used to play in called Technology Versus Horse that I drummed for. We may do a reunion show. And some of the reunion stuff is spurred on by, like, the big local venue is up for sale. That's actually news.
I saw that.
Yeah. When the last time we spoke, that wasn't a thing. So It's like this big deal where, like, shit, we got to play. You know, everybody's getting back together with an old band. And there's a couple others that I've played with before that we may try to squeeze a reunion in, but it's getting really tight now, trying to get all this stuff in the next couple months.
And what's the name of that place again?
It's called Tidballs. They've been open, I think, for like 21 years or something like that.
Yeah, they've had some big acts go through there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you say the name of the venue again, but slower?
It is one of the co-owners, it's his last name, Tidballs, and their motto is no balls, no fun.
I saw that come up on your page for sale, and I was like, if I had money and I didn't want to leave this state, I would be so on that.
Yeah, it's.
I would be so on that. That sucks.
It's a really, really strange thing. Like, everybody here is kind of brokenhearted, but it's also that whole thing of like, I think part of why they're getting out is age. You know, they've run it for 20 some odd years. They're in their late 40s, 50s, and they've got kids and families. And, you know, getting home at 4 in the morning at this point's got to suck. But also, you know, like a lot of places, COVID really hurt. So a lot of the people that are kind of like, oh my God, I'm like, dude, I haven't seen you there in years. What are you upset about now that it's not going to be there anymore? Like, they needed you. But yeah, I honestly, I don't know if that would have saved it or not.
Yeah, it's really sad. All the, because that's happened a lot here too in Texas, where a lot of good venues where an artist could go, be heard, and not only those things, you know, maybe get new fans, but also.
It ran away.
Is that the starer? Yeah, right. Is that the starer?
That's starer.
It is, yeah. I think she popped up in the last one too.
That's funny. Just kind of sad because those venues also paid musicians, you know, a lot of them, and a lot of them went out of business, and it made me sad. And then when I moved to San Antonio from Austin, it's just like you're competing with so many bands and stuff like that. It's
and
just
there's not enough venues.
Yeah. Not a, I mean, and we're kind of a weird band anyway, just because of our genre. But y'all guys are pretty, I mean, you're doing black metal. That's pretty straightforward.
I mean, yeah, there's not much of that around here. But, you know, one thing with this particular venue is, you know, I've been playing there since 2004. And I met my wife there in 2015. And then we started dating in 2018. And I actually proposed to her there in 2020. It was like, so it's like this, you know, this, and somebody recently got married there, like last month. And so it's this venue where like you can really see like how much it's like the heart and soul of this town and like the music scene. So I think when it sells, like it'll be weird. We're just hoping like don't tear it down and make it into a parking lot or, you know, or something like that. Like,
yeah. So you said you proposed to your wife there. Was that, were you like a vocalist that time? And did you go, will you marry me?
No, I was actually, well, the funny thing, it was in my 90s cover band. That's how I met her. Was her and some friends came out, and it was like 5 years to the day that we met, even though it wasn't, you know, we didn't date for a few years. But it was during COVID. So they shut down for a few months, and there's this big thing where like everybody rallied to like do things to keep them open. Like there was like a live stream that everybody participated in and stuff. They opened back up. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to get to do it. And then they closed again. And I'm like, fuck. Like, I don't have a backup plan. And then they opened again. It's like, okay, got to do it. Yeah, because it was like 2020, you know, when everything was just kind of riding that wave.
God, that feels like not long enough ago.
So how did you propose?
Well, I tried to fake her out, and it did not work. You know, I was like, because like all of her friends were there, like all these people that don't normally come, people from out of town came. And, you know, and I told them, like, hey, you know, if it's their, you know, it's her friend and everything, but she's just like, why are these people here? Like all these people that
she's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I tried to fake it out like on stage because like that was also the night we met. We had a new singer join the band with us that night. And so it was also 5 years to the day from her first show. And I was trying to play this angle of whatever, but I'm on stage. Nobody else is up there and I'm on the mic and I look over at her and she, I can tell it's like, she fucking knows. And so, yeah, that's how that went. But I'm like, for real, like I proposed in the parking lot at this bar. It sounds trashy, but like, you know, it's like, I know how it sounds, but, you know, it's got a meaning to it. And so you're like, man, this place, like, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I played there last weekend. I'll be playing there again. The Bahargum, we're doing an EP release show there in a couple weeks. So, I mean, we're still getting everything out of it we can.
When are you doing the release?
November 11th. It's a Saturday. The album comes out on the 3rd. See, it's funny that you, I feel like I get a vibe like you're considering coming to it.
Yeah, I'm writing it down.
It's just funny because since we've been in contact, I think I've played Louisville like 4 or 5 times and you've not come.
I know. And it's usually because, I know, but I'm a caregiver, so sometimes I work second and third shift and or I broke myself. I feel bad. Like, there's a lot of people who have been like, come hear me play. And I'm like, yeah, I have bills.
No, I totally get it.
Right now, I'm off every other weekend. So, like, if that's my weekend off, I need to start getting out more.
We're playing with Stonecutters.
But your cover band also did a cool thing. We've had, because you and I are in the same lovely state, the lovely red state of hell, that is trying to overturn a lot of, like, LGBTQ plus stuff and drag stuff. So you guys went out and performed in drag.
We did.
I love you for that. And as the parent of a legibitquois daughter, I really appreciated that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, everybody in the band, we're all, you know, straight, whatever, but like we've all got everybody, family, friends, everything. And it was just kind of a show of solidarity with everything going on. And
it looked like hell of a lot of fun.
It was. And the funny thing about it, we were supposed to do it earlier in the month. And it was like a humongous tornado warning, like every place in town closed. And we were just like, here's God smiting us for doing the drag show, you know. But like literally every bar closed for no reason. It turned out not to be anything. But no, so we did it. And, you know, we have a female vocalist. She's not with us anymore. The girl who did that.
Sorry.
But, no, it's just fine. But so she dressed as a guy, you know, and everybody did it. And
yeah, I saw the pictures. It looked great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, in this state, Team Andy, fuck Daniel Cameron. Let's just say that. That guy sucks.
He does.
He's like the shitty, like Wayne Brady impersonator looking guy.
You're kind of fired up this one. I haven't seen all this. Fuck him. Fuck that. Fuck this.
I think he's gotten comfortable with us. See, the thing is I'm going to try to I'm trying to edit less. So I'm going to like just take chunks out and then it's just going to and we might get some hate. And I love it because fuck him. Not you, absolutely. Cameron. Fuck him. Yeah. People like him are making it to where people like me are leaving. We're leaving. It's not safe for our children. We're leaving. Yeah. And it's a privilege to be able to leave, but it sucks that that's the main reason that my daughter isn't going to college here.
Wow.
Yeah, not to stay off topic, but my oldest son is gay. And so he came out in like a rural area. And I was like, you need to tell me if someone's giving you problems. I will drive down and take care of the problem. But yeah, and then when he got to Austin, you know, Austin's a pretty cool pocket. But there are still some places, you know, and he was doing drag. So he would travel around and Julie and I would get to go see him sometimes. But those fuckers go on so late.
From my perspective, I mean, I don't have kids. But like hearing this from both of you guys, like that's just like it's amazing to hear that, like how awesome of parents you are to your kids. So, I mean, like hats off to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
she's so cute.
Man, how many?
Yeah, I got another one.
You have a zoo?
He does.
Yeah. We got a bunch. I'm on my back porch. So they're kind of coming and going.
Yeah. I had to kick my cat out because she was intent. I was sick for 2 weeks like bad. And so she got to lay right here. Every day I got off work and until I went to work the next day. So now she's a mess. Now she's like, oh, you're sitting. So I'm going to sit on you.
Oh, yeah. So this cat, my wife and I have a little EDM thing that we do. And we have an entire album about this cat.
Y'all were like fucking made for each other. It gives me hope. You and your wife and him and his wife. Y'all give me hope.
Like, my wife
someone
is
out there. If they can find it.
My wife is so much cooler than me, and she's just a better person than I am.
Well, she's definitely.
She is.
Same here, man.
I'm like, I don't know why, but I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, like every day I'm just like, I'm a big piece of shit. Why is she here? But I'm glad that she is.
Hey, so do y'all want to get into drifting?
Yeah, because it's been like 46 minutes, and we still haven't talked about
So drifting.
Yeah, let's do that.
I re-listened to the songs again. Aggressive big sound added by the keys. It made it just thicker. You have a nice tempo change in that song. Nice backing vocals. I even have the time written down, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to let you wonder.
Okay.
The screams you did. I loved them in that song. You did a scream in the intro, in the middle before the second change, and then Your screams were awesome. So here's my question, which really has nothing to do with anything I've talked about. You do a lot of alternate picking in that song. So my question is, what style of pick do you use and does it change?
So I use like 12 gauge strings, so they're pretty thick. And the pick is a 73 millimeter Dunlop. And I'm pretty like that. That's like my pick. You know, if I play bass, I use a different pick. For my 90s band, I usually use thinner strings, and then I'll use like one of those like 60 millimeter picks. Like I maybe would use like 10s or something like that for the strings. But recently I've just put the 12s on everything, and I'm just, you know, everything's getting kind of that thicker sound because I play Telecasters. Everything, I don't own another guitar other than a Tele. And I love the way they sound, but every now and then the twang is a little much for certain things. And only one of my Teles is unaltered. So that's the one where I'm like, fuck, it's a little too much twang. You know, the one that I play with Starer, it's got like humbuckers in it. So it's been modified. So you would never guess it's a Tele. But that's, yeah, I guess that's probably more than you asked, but that's kind of the setup.
No, that's kind of the thing I was going for, but specifically the pick and the heavier gauge strings definitely help. I mean, because the strings, if you're using 12s, that's the lightest string. Well, almost the lightest string for acoustic guitars, because normally acoustic guitars are 11s and higher, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was using 13s on an acoustic at one point a long time ago, but it was like the what is it? Elixirs? I think that's what they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't play acoustic as much as I used to. But the funny thing, when I started doing Bahargum and we got the full band going, I was using, I don't remember whatever I was using. It was a little thinner. When we recorded our second album, which was the first one that we did as a full band, I went to the it was our first drummer. I went to his place. He recorded it. And he wanted me to play his guitar rather than my Tele. And it had thicker strings. And he's like, and you're going to need a thicker pick to really get that, you know, dig on it, whatever. And I'm like, dude, I've never played this guitar. I've never played strings, you know, this thick, this pick, whatever. The whole thing is fucking different. And you want me to record with it today, you know? And so kind of like having to take that challenge on was just like, you know what? He's right. For this type of music, all that shit sounds better. And I kind of just went with it from there. It does, man. You get that. I mean, and when I was in a metal band years ago, when our singer started playing guitar with us, he originally was just the vocalist. He used like one of those like really small picks that was just thick as fuck. It was like a quarter. And I'm like, how are you strumming with that? Like, I get how you're like doing single things, but like when you get into those like top speeds, especially with black metal, where you're doing the, you know, the that kind of shit. Like, it's really hard to do that with covering like three or four strings with a thick pick that's just not giving, you know? I mean, so it's kind of just a lot of like different techniques. You start learning that sort of like emperor technique, you know, with like the sort of almost like limp wrist where you're sort of flicking it a little bit, a lot of stuff like that.
How is the shelter going? And the name of the shelter and where people can donate?
ESMA, it stands for Egyptian Society for Mercy to Animals. It's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all this stuff. It's a struggle. It's always a struggle.
Yeah.
The website is ESMA Egypt, ESMA Egypt.org. And there's links on there. Or if you, you know, if you got on any of the socials, there's links to like I actually run the PayPal. Yeah, but there's a better way to donate that's a little cleaner, I guess. It's called Animal Diplomacy. So if anybody wants to donate, there's links to all that stuff. But I would never say it's going poorly, but I would never say it's going well either. It's just, it is what it is. You know, it's a constant struggle. And my fear right now with everything, just all the conflict going on over there, that shit could get bad and get worse. We would welcome everybody's support. You know, I've got my Egyptian dog here. She's about to turn 14.
She's so cute.
Yeah, I mean, that's where Stara comes from. It's yeah. A nickname for her. But yeah, I mean, she's about to be 14 and she's still in pretty good health. But, you know, I know I lost a dog at 17 last year. You know, 17 is a big number. And I'm like, fuck, man, like if she makes 17, that's 3 years ago by quick.
Hey, mine made it to 18.
It's an amazing place, but man, it's hard. Awesome, man. It's sad. Yeah, it's tough the first time somebody sees it or goes over there. And I think people maybe think it's one thing. And then when they go there, they're just like, fuck, it's actually way more intense than I maybe thought it was.
Well, that link is below, people. So if you're interested in donating, please click the link below.
I wrote a book about it. If anybody, you did. All the money from the book goes to the shelter. So just, it's basically my personal story with my dog. And the whole point was to raise awareness and sort of, you know, not sound like it's, you know, I'm just a regular person that just happened upon something, you know. And so it's, maybe somebody could connect to it from that way. I'm not preaching to people about, you know, a situation so much. But anyway, all the money that the book makes goes back to the shelter.
So returning, this song has a great build to the first verse. I love the change. At 33 seconds.
Yeah, the change
seconds.
Is really awesome.
It kind of has a Phantom of the Opera feel. And then a tasty guitar picking at 345. Awesome instrumental and percussion changes. You are now becoming more adventurous with your vocals. Mm-hmm. So my question is how are you going to change your vocal chain as you change your vocal style in different parts? Because sometimes you're distorted and then sometimes you sing clean. I think the last time we talked to you, you said, I just press buttons until it works.
That seems right. That's the best answer.
But you're going to have to think about that at some point because it'll save you time. You know, so how do you think about that? You know, because you probably got one more vocal style in you, I think, just by listening to the two that I've heard from you. So, you know, what are you going to do?
So I use a lot of templates, you know, for different projects, just things that I kind of set up initially.
Excuse me.
And then I'll evolve them, you know, like say this is the Stara template, the next album, I'll tweak it some. So it's consistent, but not the same. But I think generally, you know, there's always some reverb on things. It's just kind of that ambient sort of, I don't even know what you'd call it. Just ambience is what it's called in my plugin. And then a little bit of distortion, you know, you don't want to overdo that. Then I'll kind of just play with it, you know, your tone and your EQ and whatnot. That's really it. You know, those are kind of the things that are always there. And then I'll sort of adapt them because I think if you start putting too much, you're going to really create a bunch of mud. And it almost feels like you're hiding at a certain point, too. And if I'm going to hide, I'll just, you know, lower it in the mix a little bit. But I'm not going to hide it behind a wall of shit. Just a little bit of shit.
Just a little shit. Just enough.
Yeah.
Just a smidge of shit.
Just a touch.
Yeah.
So basically, when you start a new project, you start out with a template, some type of template, and then you modify it to what's going on in that specific project.
Basically, yeah. And sometimes, you know, like if I have one where I'm like, I don't really care for how I sounded on the last album that I did with this one, maybe I'll take a template from a different project and then just tweak it a little bit. And, you know, it is a funny thing, like doing a lot of stuff anonymously, like some of the more successful things I have in terms of just number of listeners or followers or, you know, money I've made are some of the anonymous things. And I'll listen to it and I'm like, fuck, they're going to catch me because I did this exact same like idea in another one, you know, and so far, like, nobody's caught it. But one of these days when I'm like, yeah, that's also me, somebody will be like, yeah, I fucking knew it. I heard this thing. It's the exact same tone that you had in this other part, you know, something like that. Because everything I do, you know, bands we do in studio or some sort of similar, you know, type setting. But solo stuff, I do it all like digitally. So like I may demo my drums, but then I have to go back and like sound replace them and sort of, you know, program it. But like guitar, you know, at home, I'm not miking it up in my garage. I'm going into like a digital interface. So you can fall into those traps of like, I really love this setting. And then you just keep using it over and over again. And then suddenly you're like, eh, there it is. There's the key where somebody's going to connect everything. But yeah, it's a lot of templates, because then I think just starting from scratch is a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about Waking as well?
We do. I have
the unreleased track.
This is my one of my favorites of yours, because the big intro, and then you just, it gets bigger. I mean, you think the intro's big and you're like, where's he going to go with this? And then you go up another notch, has a great groove. It really gets you pumped up. It also has some places where it breathes. There's like some space there in different parts. This song has a way different style than your other two songs we were talking about. Maybe not way different, but it's definitely different. It's funny, we were talking about Faith No More earlier, because I was like, the ending reminds me of Epic. And I was like, it has a loose feel to Faith No More. It's like, you know, I'm not going, hey, this is, I can tell this is Faith No More, but it has like a feel that that I could hear Faith No More kind of doing. So you've already answered this question, but does Faith No More and King Diamond, how does that influence your music? Because I hear both in there. King Diamond, because of some of your vocals, some of your riffs, but Faith No More, I hear that too.
King Diamond, not at all. I don't listen to King Diamond.
So crazy to me. So crazy.
Yeah, I don't have anything against it. And maybe one day it'll connect. But yeah, Merciful Fate, King Diamond, I'm just not really into it. Faith No More, huge fan. I don't know if I would say I intentionally, I mean, obviously with the other song I played for you guys earlier that we talked about, but I think a lot of that shit is just, you know, I do like metal, but I would never really call myself like a metalhead. I love to play it more than, and I do love to listen to it, but you know, my favorite bands are Faith No More and Radiohead and shit like that. You know, I did a covers EP that, you know, hit up some of these, and I think just having that shit in there, you know what I mean? Almost like at a subconscious level, you don't really know that that's what you're drawing from, but because that's just what I, you know, Faith No More is one of my favorite bands, like always. Like, they were one of the bands I got into music on when I was a kid. So it's just, it's so deep. It's probably just going to be there whether I want it to be or not. It's just, it is wild to me though, you know, when you talk about this specific song, because, you know, it sounds different. A big reason why I cut it from the album. I don't think it's a bad song. There was an earlier version that I didn't like at all. And then when I kind of remixed it and did a few other things to it, I think it didn't feel as full before. And I do like it now, but it's almost a little more upbeat, you know? And I kind of view it as almost the album with the song titles and everything. It kind of has like a cycle to it, you know, with Returning being the last track. You're like, is this, cause the album it's not really necessarily based on like Lucid Dreaming, but it's just like the concept of, you know, going through like a sleep cycle with like, you know, crossing and drifting and whatnot. And so Returning to me was like, is that returning to the waking world, or is that returning to sleep and sort of like continuing the cycle? In which case, Waking almost feels like it's outside of it. And then it's sort of almost like an alternate ending, I guess you could say, you know, Finally the ending in that case. So I don't know. It's a strange song. Like I like it, but I do feel like I cut it for a reason. If you want to hear a different song, it was supposed to come out on a comp this month, and there's a whole situation with that where it's not on that. It's on another one now with Werenome. I don't know if I should be talking about it or not because he hasn't announced it yet, but it is by far the weirdest Stairer song. No traditional 4/4 timing in it. Like, it doesn't sound proggy, and it's not like it's like jerky for, it's just kind of like that measure just sort of stops, you know, that sort of almost like the Soundgarden approach to Odd Times. And I kind of put a little bit of that like sort of Arabic flair on a couple of the riffs. And it's a weird song. It doesn't fit anywhere. And so the fact
maybe your next album just needs to be all songs that technically don't fit anywhere and don't fit together. And you can just be like, here it is.
You can call it a smidge of weird shit.
A skosh of shit.
A skosh of shit. That is the best metal album title I have heard in a while. Just a skosh of shit. That would be great. That would be so funny.
Well, so like, yeah, I've done an album a year. Next year, I'm not going to do an album. I'm going to wait. And I've got a good chunk of stuff written for it. I just kind of figured, like, this one came out, you know, in late July. And with the vinyl label I'm working with, this album's still not out on vinyl because he's kind of a little behind. And he wants to be there at launch date. So I'm like, cool, we'll just push one back a year. So next year I'm going to do like an EP or something. So Waking will probably be part of that. And then this weird song I just mentioned will be part of it. And then I've got a song that came out on a Fia compilation earlier this year. I redid it. And funny enough, I actually had COVID when I did that one. So my voice was, it was, as far as vocals, that song, and when I covered Jane's Addiction Mountain song, the just
that is like
two,
one of my favorite songs ever written.
Yeah,
sorry,
one of the best songs. Yeah, but like those two songs that I did for Stare, my vocals are different because I was, my throat was fucked up. I couldn't do the normal thing, so I went back and redid the Fia track, and so it sounds kind of more uniform with the rest. And I have another one that I wrote that's maybe the most aggressive song I've written for this. And I don't know if I'm going to do any more because, I mean, you start putting a fifth or sixth song, you're back, you're almost at an album at that point. But so probably those four will be like.
And now
like
you
an
have
EP
to call
year.
It a scotch of shit.
Right, maybe.
Okay. That's okay. Before the show. So do you have any other shows coming up?
Let me think here. I just played a few. So November 3rd is a Bahargam EP release. And we need to get you on here
with one of the other Bahargam guys and do an interview as well.
So November 11th is the release show for that Bahargam EP. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a Chance to Rockwell show at some point pretty soon. I just don't have a date yet. And I've got a lot of stuff coming up with Primeval Well. I think we're going to do at least two tours next year, maybe three. So, and Brent, we may come out west for one of them. That's the one that's kind of a little iffy. So I don't know if we go through Texas, but maybe.
No, if you go to San Antonio, man, they would love you here. It's a metal town. I mean, there's a lot of cowboy stuff, but it's a metal town. And I'm pretty sure if y'all come down and you punch them in the face, they'll love you.
Well, we could do it. Yeah, I mean, that's the Out West tour is the one that's a little bit more on the fence. But we've got one in March that we're working on that's going to go a little bit more up north. And then we're supposed to do one in October. I don't know if I should say this or not, but we're supposed to do one in October of 24 with Panopticon for maybe like 10 days or something. And we've recently become pretty good friends with Austin and, you know, very grateful for that friendship. And he's just kind of, you know, wanting to help us out a little bit.
So last question, swear to God, last question. Do you have any new advice that you would give somebody who is getting into the music industry?
Jokingly, don't.
I know. I know. I know. And you know what? Every other artist says that.
Yeah.
But seriously.
There's a lot of generic sounding things you could say, you know, like staying true to yourself, you know, that kind of stuff. And for me, it would be coming from a person that has spent, you know, I'm 42. I just turned 42. I've been doing this since I was 14. And I've literally achieved nothing. Like, I've released a bunch of shit, but I get up at 3:30 in the morning and go to work, you know, yeah. Like, so, I mean, just do it because you love it. And if you need a break, you know, take a break. And I think that's when you'll figure out, do you really love it? Does it draw you back? You know, and that's maybe not necessarily advice, but, you know, I had a few years where I was not doing well, where, like, you know, one of my best friends was killed. One of my dogs died. It was a slow, you know, kidney failure death. I was in a relationship of 10 years that slowly ended and dragged out really, you know, bad. And like all these consistent things that I had were over the course of a couple of years all falling apart. And I lost all my motivation and whatever. And when I came out the other side, it was like I sort of rediscovered it. You know what I mean? And it was kind of like right there waiting for me. And I don't know necessarily where I'm going with that thought, but it was just kind of, you know, there was some time when I thought maybe I've lost this. And I guess it was just kind of getting through that personal period for me kind of made me realize, like, this isn't a thing you lose. You know, like, I think a lot of people get discouraged the longer they stick with it, where, like, if I haven't made it by a certain age, like, what's the fucking point or whatever. And it's music. You can play music till the day you die. So if you love it, do it, and don't make it feel like it's work. That's one thing I feel like maybe I'm fortunate where it's, I haven't ever made shit out of it, is it doesn't feel like a job. You know, I'm still doing it because I want to do it, not because I have to make money to pay a bill or something. I think it's just, fuck, I haven't answered your question at all.
No, I think you answered the question.
You know, I mean, but everybody at a certain point, I think, growing up, you know, when we were talking earlier about, like, say, Axl Rose, oh, he's such a fucking dick or whatever, you know, you're still a human, and sometimes, like, just human nature takes over, you know, ego or whatever. Yeah. And I think, you know, when I was growing up doing some of this shit, at a certain point, you want to limit yourself, like, I want to play this type of music. And anything that's not technical enough is shitty because, oh, they it doesn't sound like they know how to play as well or whatever. I think you're going to go through those phases, but, like, you know, you can appreciate everything. Like, my wife is a gigantic Taylor Swift fan. I went to see the Eras Tour movie with her in the theater, and I had a great fucking time.
Yeah, I actually heard Taylor Swift is an amazing performer. Like, you could appreciate just the performance.
Yeah, I could. And it was just like the story that was told through. It was a great time. And, you know, I think at a certain point I was definitely that guy of, like, you know, pop music sucks or whatever. And then I kind of open it up where I'm like, I'm a huge fan of The Weeknd now, You know, do I lose points for that? Sure, no. You know, whatever. But you know, like I'm in a cover fucking band. You know, like some people on black metal shit on the internet are just like, you know, you that's not cult or you know, it's just there's a lot of stupid shit. And I think it really comes down to the generic answer of just yeah, be who you are, like the shit that you like. If you want to be the guy in the metal band that doesn't even listen to metal, that's fucking fine. Who gives a shit? You know, you should never have a guilty pleasure because you should never feel guilty about something that you love. And I mean, that's kind of my ramble answer, I guess, with all that is like, you know, like what you like and really who gives a fuck. And the more stuff that you like, that's kind of been a big thing for me where like, you know, my wife and I have an EDM thing. I have a 90s cover band. I have a black metal band. I played bass in a band that had three basses and a, you know, so just everything that you can like soak up is just like more tools in the shed, I guess. And that's, maybe that's my advice, you know, just like you don't know it all. You're never going to know it all. And you should never know it all. Like listen to Yngwie. Don't listen to Yngwie. That shit is hard to fucking listen to. Yngwie sounds like he listens to one thing and that's his fucking self, you know, like. And you have to kind of grow past like a little bit, you have to grow past your ego a little bit, you know, where you're like, I do need to hear. If you only listen to metal, you're going to play metal that just sounds like a person only listens to metal created it. So yeah, just like soak up. It's the same thing. If somebody wants to be a film director, watch every movie, watch the shitty rom-coms, you know, like, because there's something in there that you can pull from.
All right, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We had Josh from Starer on, and he's going to be releasing some music soon. The link will be down below. Just look down south, baby. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for spending time with us. If you are spending time with us, you must get something from us. And if you do get that and it makes you feel good inside and you want to hang out with us more, share us with other people because we may not be able to help them, but we can make them at least feel good about where they're at. Like, follow, and subscribe. Send us money. Buy some merch. Talk to Josh. Josh, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I appreciate you guys. I have a great time whenever it gets recorded or whenever it doesn't. I love talking to you guys. This is fun.
Make some.
No, please.